the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When you see a story, especially in a newspaper of record like the New York Times or the Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, or over in Europe, it might even be the Telegraph, London, you look at those and you say, they surely got this story right, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they miss something big. There's a story in the Telegraph recently about gay marriage in churches in Denmark, apparently mandated by the parliament there for all churches. Is the story entirely true? Joining us to talk about media coverage of that story and some prejudice against Seventh-day Adventists in media coverage in Australia, George Conger. He formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
You were pretty complimentary of the Telegraph coverage of the Danish Church's gay marriage story, but you say there's a hole. To me, it sounds like a pretty big hole. What was it?
Well, it was a really well-written article. It brought together people from both sides of the argument. It was as a newspaper article should be. It laid out all the facts. It had people offering different points of views. But it started off in its lead, or its opening sentence, in saying all churches must now perform gay marriages, when in reality, the law passed by the Danish Parliament was that churches of the Danish state church, the Church of Denmark, Der Dansk Folkekirk, the Danish people's church, which is the state church, sort of like the Church of England, is covered by the law. So that means Roman Catholics, Pentecostals, independent Protestants, the Orthodox, even the Church of England's congregation in Copenhagen are not required under law to perform gay church marriages. Just the state Lutheran church.
And why would you think, because it's not as though state churches are an unknown thing for the European press, why do you think the Telegraph would miss something like this?
I don't know what was in the mind of the, it could have been haste, it could have been a simple mistake, it couldn't have just been an assumption. I don't know, but whatever it was an embarrassing mistake, because it conflated all churches with a small c, if you will, into one church with a capital C, and made everybody part of the Danish state church. I think it speaks to either sloppiness or ignorance of how you report on talk about churches.
Now, what did you like about the coverage, media's coverage of this particular issue? Because it is a pretty big story.
Yeah, usually in the European press, they're very advocacy oriented. They stake out a position and they marshal the facts to defend their argument. And the Telegraph is traditionally been the conservative paper in the UK, but they also support gay marriage, and in their editorial line. And in this article on gay marriage in Denmark, they, of course, had proponents of gay marriage, the government minister in charge of churches, which from an American perspective sounds pretty ominous, but they had he also happens to be an atheist, too, which is another fun thing. The atheist minister in charge of churches in Denmark said this is why it's such a great thing, but then they gave equal time to conservative politicians saying why this why the government really should not get involved in dictating theology to the Lutheran Church in Denmark, and also bringing up a bishop to say that, you know, this is a terrible thing that's going to just split the Lutheran Church in Denmark wide apart.
You also mentioned that the Copenhagen Post, a little closer to home there, did get this one right on that one key fact you mentioned before. Tell us about that.
Yes, it was just the Telegraph, which was the only really mainstream newspaper in England to give it its independent coverage. Everybody else picked up sort of a wire service story. But the Copenhagen Post, which is an English language newspaper in Denmark, went into this in some detail and laid out how this just affects the state church, which are churches that are supported by the state. Your taxpayer money goes to support the Church of Denmark, and if you're a taxpayer, you can get married in a Church of Denmark church. The church doesn't really have a right to say to an atheist, no, we won't marry you. An atheist doesn't have to get married, but in a church, he can get married at a registry office. But the Copenhagen Post went through the details of what this means and also opened the door on the theological issues of only 3 of the 10 Danish bishops will approve gay marriages. And so we're going to reach a point where the church is either going to be compelled by the state removing bishops and putting in gay-friendly bishops, or the existing bishops will have to knuckle under and do what the government says.
So this has the potential to be a really amazing story on the angle of state churches and what the state can dictate to those congregations, even to their Episcopal leaders.
Yes, and the reason why it sort of received play in the British press and hardly anything in the American press was because in the Church of England, about a week and a half ago, they released a document vigorously opposing the government's plan to now allow gay marriage. And one of the things that has been said over and over again is, oh, well, the government will never compel the churches to perform gay marriages. Well, that's what was said when Denmark passed gay marriages a few years ago. Oh, we're not going to make the church do it and have ministers violate their conscience. Well, now the government has said, okay, you've had time to get used to it. Sorry, folks, this is the law, and you either marry these people or we'll find someone who'll do it for you in your church. You don't have a right to say no. So this is a major story that's developing in Europe, and it's starting off in Denmark, and we'll soon see it in Sweden, but we probably won't hear about it in the American press until the fight turns to England, when we hear people speak about this issue in English rather than Danish or some other Nordic language.
Before we let you go, you've written about another bit of coverage having to do with Seventh-day Adventist Church and Lindy Chamberlain of A Cry in the Dark fame. Tell us that story, and what was lacking here with regard to religion coverage of that tragic story of the child's death?
Well, many of your listeners will remember a Meryl Streep movie called A Cry in the Dark, where Meryl Streep plays a woman whose infant child is snatched from her cradle by a dingo while they're camping at Ayers Rock in the middle of the Australian desert. Well, the police did not believe that a dingo would do this, and so Lindy Chamberlain, the mother, was arrested, and after an investigation was tried and convicted of first-degree murder. And at the time, and this is in the early 80s, at the time there was a great deal of press coverage because her husband was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, and the Chamberlains were Seventh-day Adventists. And there was a great deal of press speculation that this was part of a ritual sacrifice performed by Seventh-day Adventists. And it got so that... Now, eventually, forensic evidence, and the reason why it was a recent story is it was only last month that a coroner finally said that a dingo killed the baby, 30 years later. But even to this day, the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Australia has a website where it lists common misperceptions about Adventists, that we practice ritual sacrifice, that we're against blood transfusion. They point out that they have a whole hospital chain, Adventist medical systems in Australia. And part of this story was the willingness of normal people to suspend rational belief and think that a small religious sect were practicing something akin to Satanism. It was very much like the... Do you remember in the early and mid-80s all these satanic ritual abuse trials in daycare centers where people made these preposterous claims about satanic practices that later turned out to be the product of false memories. But this one in Australia had a really strong religious component, but the press, when they reported it recently, just talked about this as being a miscarriage of justice rather than a modern-day religious witch hunt.
With only about 30 seconds here, from a journalist's perspective, why do you think the media then and now got it wrong?
Well, I think most reporters want to do a good job. They wish to be professional, but they don't have a knowledge base to understand what they're hearing or listening to. They don't have a depth of an experience, or they don't have an interest to talk about the subjects under review. You would never have, a reputable newspaper would not have a defense correspondent who couldn't tell the difference between a battleship and a tank, for instance. Yet we have people writing about religion, which is one of the most important elements in people's lives, who have no idea the difference between different Christian groups, different Christian beliefs, what the difference between a Shiite and a Sunni Muslim is. We hear all this stuff about the Middle East, but hardly any of the reporters know why the Sunni and the Shia are different, why Protestants and Catholics are different. It's a lack of knowledge, I believe.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, June the 29th, we'll kick it off with the Little Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll talk about the Supreme Court's ruling on the Affordable Care Act and legal challenges to the Health and Human Services contraception mandate. Eric Rosbach of the Beckett Fund will be our guest. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will follow that. We'll go into some more detail on the Affordable Care Act and federal funding for abortion. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites we'll play. You listen, and then you pick which should be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. For those of you who are members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, we're asking for your support during the difficult summer months through Thrivent Choice. You can find out about Thrivent Choice and how to support Issues Etc. through Lutheran Public Radio by Thrivent Choice. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You're going to find, click donate, and you'll find the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. When you follow through there, you will find Thrivent Choice. Now remember, if you want to support Issues Etc., this worldwide outreach through Thrivent Choice, you need to designate your charitable dollars to Lutheran Public Radio, because Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. Now, thanks for keeping us in mind during the difficult summer months, and thanks to everybody who's already been so helpful and supportive through Thrivent Choice. When we come back, a little bit of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line, hour two in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Join Issues Etc. regular guests Gene Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.